Hey dads, we've watched you in the rough seasons, walking your family through whatever came knocking at your front door. Sometimes they're just ordinary problems, but you aren't any ordinary dad. You've led us with a steady calm that was rooted in a lot of prayer. You gave all the time you had, and even the time you didn't. Dads, you stepped up, staying up late to finish work, being the helping hand everyone needed on days that sometimes felt endless. You wrestled with online school, tackled homework you sometimes didn't even understand. You made sure we stayed connected to those we love. Dads, you stepped up and listened when we couldn't handle the circumstances of life, and found extra patience somewhere in your back pocket, even when things boiled over. You led us through trying to understand what was happening in the world, while pointing us back to the Word of God as our source for hope and comfort. Dads, you stepped up and brought fun and laughter whenever you could. But you also showed us that it's okay to feel deep disappointment and loss. Dad, you faced every day with courage, even in the face of uncertainty, and spent more than one sleepless night without any good answers or assurances. But you always made sure we knew this one thing, that we are loved. We are loved by you and by God. Dad, we just wanted to say thank you. Thank you, Dad, for stepping up.
We want to welcome you to the Digby Wesleyan podcast. We want to say happy Father's Day to all those fathers who are out there, and I hope that you are making memories, even this Sunday as you tune in. Let's start off our service with a prayer. Father, I just want to say thank you, certainly Heavenly Father, for even our earthly fathers. And Lord, I want to thank you for the blessing of family and what that means to us. Lord, I know that not everybody has an ideal family, but Lord, we thank you for your love, and we thank you for your plan for each of us. And even today, I pray that as we sing, that we'd just be able to celebrate all of these truths that we are about to sing. And so, Lord, encourage our hearts today and remind us that we're part of a family that is eternal. And Lord, we bless you and we praise you, and we ask that you'd inhabit this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, guys, this first song that we want to sing is called Glorious Day, and it talks about the victory that only comes through Jesus Christ. And I hope that that is true of you in your life today. Let's sing out Glorious Day.
It was my tune till I This next song we haven't done in a little while. It's called Mighty Warrior. And if you need to know today that you have always have access to that mighty warrior, he's there to fight your battles. If you need to hear that today, I pray that this will bless you this morning. And sing it out where you're at. Even though we're not together, we can still sing it out and those praises still rise to him. You can hold the stars in place. You can hold my heart the same. Hope you believe that today, that, you know, he loves us so much. You know, he loves his creation as well, and he created this world and those stars for us. But he loves us so much that he's willing to do whatever it is to keep us in his graces, and he just loves us so much. And we just want to thank him today for who he is and what he means to us. So if you guys know this song, sing it out where you're at. Oh,
But still you come and you call to me by name. Still you come and you call to me by name. If you can hold the stars in place, you can hold my heart the same. Whenever I fall away, whenever I start to break, so here I am, lifting up my heart to the one who holds the stars. The deepest depths, the darkest nights can separate, can keep me from your side. I get so lost, forget my way, but still you love and you don't forget my name. If you can hold the stars in place, you can hold my heart the same. Whenever I fall away, whenever I start to break, so here I am, lifting up my heart. If you can calm the rage and see, you can calm the storm in me. You're never too far away, you never show up.
Nothing has the power to save but the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, I hope that you believe that. You know, there's a lot of things that try to crowd him out, and the culture tells us that that's not true, but we know in our hearts that if we've asked Jesus into our heart, that that name has the power to save you from all sin and darkness. So sing it out.
Fire songs of praise.
Do you truly want it all? Or do you just want the good stuff? Do you want an easy life with Jesus? That's what our world tells us, that everything should be good and great and happy. But sometimes that's not the way it is. And if we want all of Jesus, there's going to be hard things he asks us to do, but he's always going to be there for us. We want the true life that he has for us. I hope that's your prayer this morning, that you really want what he wants in your life.
Welcome you to the Digby Wesleyan Podcast. I'm so glad that you could join us today. I hope that you have a tea or a coffee and that you're able to enjoy these next few moments together. We are excited, of course, at Digby Wesleyan. In-person meetings are going to start July 4th, so we're 2 weeks away. We're asking that you would be booking a seat. We're trying that in Digby first at 9 and 11 a.m. Sunday services, limited amount of seats, so just call us and book one. And be patient in Deep Brook. We're hoping to be able to get back to that in the near future. I do want to say a happy Father's Day to all those fathers who may be listening and joining us today. I hope that as families, we would be loving one another and certainly appreciating your dad. You know, my pa passed away in 2016, and I miss him. So Father's Days are kind of bittersweet. On the same side of it, the Heavenly Father is so close during these days and these moments, and I can't help but think of my dad and some of the gifts and the lessons that he has given me. You know, the love that he shared was just kind of a beautiful reminder to me of the gift that he was. And so, you know what? I hope that you are having a great day, whether you are celebrating or whether you're pausing for a moment and maybe missing somebody. I want you to know that God is faithful in every stage of our life. Well, we've been doing a spiritual warfare series, and I hope that you've been enjoying it. Last week, we had Pastor Kirtland share with us, and I thought it was so neat. He was just sharing about using our voice in battle and talking about the power of the spoken word. And again, that comes from the basic Christian belief that God is omniscient, right? He's knowing all. He knows everything. But what's interesting is sometimes we forget as believers, Satan is not omniscient, right? He can't know your thoughts. Satan doesn't have that connection with you because he's not your creator. Thus, when you speak, he can hear you. When you think, he doesn't have that power over you. So again, this principle of the power of the spoken word comes into play, that we should speak that power, that authority, when it comes to the enemy. That again, he can hear those words. And Kirtland had that neat story about his friend hearing that evil voice in the back seat. It was one of those nights where spiritual warfare became very real for those two. And what did they do? They came against that voice, against that presence in the name of Jesus, and they spoke that power, right? Spiritual battles. And those are the moments when the enemy attacks. You know, we need to be speaking that authority that we have, but also in our day-to-day, you know, that principle is true of our marriages. It's true of our relationships. It's true in our confidence, in our workplace, in our parenting, that we should be mindful to speak the authority of God. Right? Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Think about that. That's a big statement, right? And James 3, out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. It should not be. Right? I love the book of James because he's so challenging all the time and very he's not worried about offending. He just wants to get to the meat of it. But out of the same mouth comes praising and cursing. It shouldn't be, right? So think about your tongue. Again, it's one of the hardest things to control that you will face in your human experience, right? Praying over your home, praying for your family, praying over your day. And Kirtland had some great principles that challenged us. So if you didn't hear that, I would challenge you to go back to last week's message and take a listen. And believers, don't take the spoken word for granted, right? Use it in battle and proclaim the truth that God has given you. And don't ever be afraid to share it. You know, I loved his passion for sharing the word of God, letting your light shine, right? And Isaiah reminds us of that. Blessed are the feet of those who bring good news, right? You are called to be bearers of good news. Well, this morning I want to kind of continue along with that challenge. And I think it's neat that it's Father's Day because I hope that all men would be leading to a new degree. Right? We're coming out of a season where I feel that women, in North America anyway, really held the church together, and I am so grateful for godly women. But men, you need to arise and take your place, especially in the days in which we live. I believe that there's a new boldness and leadership that you are being called to as men, right? But this is applicable for every believer who's listening today. I want to have some prayer principles today. You know, Kirtland talked about the spoken word, and I really do want to talk about prayer. I know for some, this will be maybe some old truth, but it is a wonderful reminder. For some of you, it may be a brand new truth. But really, they all come with cautions. And the first one that I kind of want to talk about is this idea that prayer is spiritual. Now, you'd say, well, why are you cautioning us on that? The reason I want to talk about this is because prayer being spiritual means that it's heard in the spirit world, right? And I always want us to be careful with our words. Kirtland emphasized last week that we should speak that authority. And it's amazing. Heaven waits to move on your behalf because it's heard, right? So speak it. Now here's the caution in that if heaven hears your cries, then also the enemy hears them, right? Because again, he can hear what you speak and what you whisper. And there are times, again, just cautiously think about this, there are times that we give the enemy information, and thus we give him power over us when we're careless with our words, right? And think about this. So you should not be speaking discouragement. you should not be speaking temptation, right? You should not be proclaiming trial, right? When you speak those moments out loud, you know, there's someone who's listening. Of course, heaven is listening, but the enemy is listening as well, right? Again, when we come to the Lord in prayer, of course, God knows our thoughts, and there's times when we need to cry out to him in our discouragement or in our temptation. But I want to challenge you this morning to be careful with what you speak, right? It would serve us good to remember that the enemy is also listening, right? There's times when our prayers, my prayers, like let me give you an example. They're purposely silent, my prayers, sometimes. Because God knows those thoughts, and those things are between him and I alone, right? That if I'm discouraged, I want the Father to know, not the enemy, right? If I'm struggling with temptation, I'm crying out to the Father again, but I'm purposely saying those prayers silently to the King of Kings. I'm keeping it between us, right? I fortify in my life before I share, even with a brother or sister, that I want to join me in prayer. And the reason why I do that, that's a spiritual strategy, that I'm mindful that the enemy is trying to do a terrible work within me every given day, right? But here's what I've learned, that by the time the enemy finds out what I'm struggling with, the Father's well on his way to healing me. So I want you to think about that. You know, how many have ever read that kid's book, Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day? I don't know why that was on my mind. This week I was feeling for Alexander, right? But when things are going wrong, I don't want to be proclaiming defeat, right? I mean, I need to get those things out, but I don't want to focus on the bad, right? I'm going to fill my mouth with blessing instead of cursing, right? And I'm going to find my way to worship, not to crying, right? If I do cry out, it's going to be a secret prayer to the one who can take my bad day and turn it around. And so I was, again, thinking back to that verse that I already shared from the prophet Isaiah. It's in chapter 52, verse 7. How beautiful are the mountains of the feet of those who bring good news, right? How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. You know, what breaks the power of darkness? That verse says proclaiming peace, bringing good tidings, proclaiming salvation, shouting that God reigns, right? And I love that. When frustration comes, I find myself chasing worship. And all of a sudden, it changes who I am and my perspective, right? Because I focus on the one who truly does reign. And so I want you to be thinking about that. We need to be alert. You know, don't let accusations take root. Don't let deception set in. Don't let temptation run unchecked, right? Those silent prayers and doubts find heaven. And when we proclaim his goodness, the goodness of God, well, then victory is follows, right? So I hope that would be your normal course of action. And you've heard that term, like it's the power of positive thinking, right? And there's a spiritual principle behind that kind of claim, right? It's not, I wouldn't call it necessarily the power of positive thinking, but instead, I really do believe in this principle that if we would understand our position in Christ, when we call upon heaven to fight on our behalf, then victory is the result, right? So it's receiving that authority available to us, right? It's living victorious in faith. So let me make this statement, right? Prayer is not us trying to persuade God to join us. Instead, prayer is when we submit to joining God in what he is already doing. So I want to kind of make this statement again as we pray, right? Prayer is not trying to persuade God to join us, right? God is for you. Instead, prayer is when we submit to joining God in what he is already doing. God is already victorious. Join him. God is already in control. Join him, right? So always be careful what you put out there in the spiritual realm. So that would be my first caution when it comes to this idea of prayer, when we're in war, right? Another caution that I want to share with you today is prayer is personal. right? Prayer is very personal. Prayer is a cry for heaven to intervene in your situation and your circumstance, right? For the most part, right? I always joke about this, but our first prayers, and usually it's the prayer that stays with us for life from cradle to grave, is help. we often cry out for help because we often make a mess of things, don't we? And it's funny because we wait until things are completely out of control and then we call upon God. And that's wonderful because he is the one who can solve and lead through any situation. I just, as a leader trying to teach other people how to live victorious in Christ, I try to counsel them, you know what? Let prayer be your first response and not your last resort, right? So we cry out for help in the spiritual, right? And those cries have an incredible effect upon us. So that's when it becomes personal, those cries that can actually change us. They remind us of our dependence. You know, in our world in which we live, they would say that, you know, dependence is such a bad thing. You need to be your own person. You need to be your own man, your own woman. And no, for a believer, dependence is really a beautiful understanding that I can't do anything apart from Jesus, right? That the world would consider dependence a disadvantage, but for a believer, we understand it to be one of our greatest strengths. I'm dependent upon God, right? Alone, Andrew is a mess. Alone, Andrew falls apart. Alone, Andrew's lost, right? I'm very dependent upon God, and I'm okay with that. You know, I always have people who used to joke, and they'd say, oh, your faith is a crutch, and I'm saying, nah, it's a whole wheelbarrow. I don't want to hobble along. I want Jesus just to push me, right? And that idea of prayer becomes personal because it changes me. It brings perspective that is desperately needed, right? Like, that's a beautiful thing. So think about this as some examples. When I'm frustrated, prayer has this ability to remind me that I'm a child of the King. And when that takes root in my heart, I know that I'm victorious. At worst, like, think about that, your worst day, okay, I could die. That's what humans would consider, you know, that basic instinct of survival is one of those biggest things. I'm a big lover of the show Alone, and I'm watching the new season now. Just people who go out and they literally are alone in the wilderness and they've got to figure out what to eat. They've got to figure out shelter. They've got to battle the elements. They've got to battle wildlife, all that sort of stuff. They're alone, right? And it's a scary kind of thing, but the instinct of survival is the biggest, right? I got to eat or I got to tap out. I've got to be safe from the elements or I've got to tap out, right? Nobody wants to die. It's that biggest fear that we would have as humans. Well, if I die today in prayer, I'm reminded that I truly win, right? Like, I go to be with my King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that in that moment I breathe my last breath on earth, a new chapter for me begins. So for a believer, we have nothing to fear. So when I'm frustrated, prayer changes me. It reminds me of those truths, right? When I'm angry, prayer reminds me that vengeance isn't mine. It's God's. God is my defense. He's the one who's going to fight for me, right? So in that scenario, I don't have to defend myself, right? That's how you can love, even in moments of frustration and anger. As we wrestle those emotions to the ground in prayer, we let God lead. How about this? When I'm hurting, prayer reminds me that God is close. Right, again, even talking about Father's Day, I was missing my dad, especially yesterday. I'm not sure why, but he had been on my mind. And I had another friend pass away this week. And I've been thinking about heaven. And I'm sorry about this. I wasn't expecting that emotion to kind of come out, but I'm longing for heaven. Because the longer I live, it seems like there's so many beautiful loved ones that I long to be reunited with. And of course, I can't wait to see Jesus. And you know, when I think about those moments when I'm hurting, God just comes and is so close. And his presence changes everything. He reminds me that he'll never leave me, that he'll never forsake me. And you know what? It's never ending. I love it. I love it. He's the one that I can run to, right? That strong tower that Scripture says that we can run to be saved, that he covers me completely and nothing can harm me. And on and on and on I could go, but that's the power of prayer. it's so personal, right? And you don't have to understand prayer. You just need to get doing it, right? Like, the Holy Spirit is going to teach you, it says, even when you don't know what the right words are. Like, cry out to heaven and talk with God Almighty and ask for the things that you desire and need and ask Him to change your heart and to encourage you. And you know what? It's amazing that you can live absent of fear, right? That fear can't take a hold on you when you're reminded that God holds your whole eternity. Whoo! It's personal, right? And it's beautiful, it's beautiful, it's beautiful. So, you know, get praying, get praying, get praying. It'll change who you are. It'll change how you live, right? Well, another thing that I was thinking about as I was thinking about this message and preparing it, is prayer is intercessory, right? What does that mean, intercessory prayer? Well, it's designed to give, right? To give away. It's bigger than just you, right? I don't know if you've ever heard this term. Of course, being in the church most of my life, the old preachers would say, you got to stand in the gap. We're going to stand in the gap. And they would pray on behalf of others, right? And that's kind of what they meant by that we would be standing in the gap that lies between the trial and our loved one, right? That's what that term kind of meant. And it's kind of interesting. Right now I have a friend who's kind of battling some addictions, right? And they're struggling. And it doesn't matter what I'm doing or who I'm with, that the moment that this individual comes to my mind, right, it's a prompting of the Holy Spirit, and I say a silent prayer for them if I'm in a meeting. Like, nobody even knows it's happening but me and the Lord, but I'll say a silent prayer for them. If I'm alone, then I get on my face and I cry out on their behalf to heaven that the enemy would be scattered and that the heavenly host would draw near to my friend, right? I stand in the gap for them because I'm longing for victory for them. And right now, their faith is such that it's been shaken, right? And so I'm lending, in essence, I'm lending them my faith. I'm interceding on their behalf. I'm when heaven reminds me that they are feeling weak, I try to stir the spiritual realm to defend them. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a biblical thing, right? Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. Like, we are to carry one another's burdens. What does that mean to you? Right? Have you ever done that? Have you ever tried that? Have you ever been party to that? Because it's a beautiful thing and it's a command, right? 2 Corinthians 1:11, you also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessings granted us through the prayer of many. So this idea that many should be praying, right? And that's why we need to at times be vulnerable, and that's why we've been sharing with you the importance of accountability, right? That again, when it comes to this idea of prayer, I hope you are praying for your brothers and sisters. I hope that you are praying for your family. I hope that you're praying for your churches and denominations. I hope that you are praying for your leaders, right? Because we're to stand in that gap. James 5:14, if anyone among you is sick, then you must call the elders of the church, and they are to pray for him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Again, this idea that we can stand in the gap, that we can bring those trials of our brothers and sisters to heaven, right? They're called to intercede, that you can stand in the gap. And doing that helps you to see things differently, right? Really, it's a clarification for you. You know, I've heard people say, well, you got to put yourself in somebody else's shoes. No. It's not putting yourself in someone else's shoes. I don't want another person's struggles, right? I got enough struggles of my own. Like, I don't want their struggles to be added to my struggles, right? But when I intercede, I don't change places with them, but I become an aid to them, right? Oswald Chambers was an incredible writer, for another day, but certainly the truth that he wrote about is so applicable in today's culture and society, which is amazing because truth is timeless, right? He talked about intercession, and I think that this is a beautiful statement, so I wanted to read it today. He said, true intercession involves bringing the person or the circumstance that seems to be crashing in on you before God until you are changed by his attitude toward that person or circumstance. People describe intercession by saying it is putting yourself in someone else's shoes. That is not true. Intercession is putting yourself in God's place. It is having His mind and His perspective. So when you think of standing in the gap for another, what that does is it changes you. It opens you up to their struggle and to God's mercy and God's grace and God's love. If God defends you as a believer, right, then isn't it beautiful that we are given the ability to defend another? And again, it's all done through the power of Christ, right? Through His death and resurrection and victory over the grave, there is power that is available to us. So when we intercede, we find those new depths of grace and mercy because we tap into a grace and mercy that is of God Himself, right? Your compassion is far more grand because you tap into the compassion of God. That's what standing in the gap is, right? And so that's why we need to take that responsibility of carrying one another's burdens. We need to take that to a heavenly level. And I don't know if you've ever interceded before, but it is a beautiful ministry. And it's a ministry that is timeless and can happen any moment, anywhere. It's not bound by anything, right? It's not bound by your finances. It's not bound by, the time that you have to give when you think of volunteering. It's just one of those things. Like I said, I've been in meetings. And this particular individual, just this week, a friend of mine struggling with addiction comes to my mind. I find myself praying for them in the middle of a meeting. Nobody even knows it's going on. So beautiful, 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 right? Here's my caution to you. Never tell another believer that you're going to be praying for them unless you really mean it. Right? Too often, it frustrates me as a leader that people will use that as a transition or a segue. You know what? Oh, I'll be praying for you. And so how's the rest of the week going? Like, if you are going to tell another believer that you're going to be praying for them, then I hope you would mean it. That it would become a priority, because it's cruel to give somebody false promises, isn't it? Like, if you agree to join a brother or sister in battle, then mean it. Mean it. Mean it. Mean it. Right? Matthew 5, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one. That's a strong, crazy statement, right? But it's a strong, crazy statement that people need to hear, because I am so sad when people say they're going to be praying and then they don't. Like, I have a prayer list, right? And I'll go down my prayer list, and the reason why I have a list is because I'm getting older and I can't always rely on my memory, although the Holy Spirit is so faithful to bring people to my mind. And if I haven't written it down, when the Holy Spirit brings them to my mind, then I write it down. Let my yes be yes and my no be no. Anything beyond that comes from the evil one, right? And again, when you're doing that, if you take it seriously, like, you should be specific when you intercede, right? Like, if you are going to war with someone, then I want you to be specific. Like, here's some prayers that I try to pray when I'm standing in the gap for others. I pray that the demons would be cut off from communication. Think about that. They'd be put in a confused state, right? And their attacks would be uncoordinated. Like, I pray that specifically, right? Because if they can't communicate, then they become less effective. Like, why wouldn't we just pray that? That the demons would be cut off from communication. Another thing that I pray often when I intercede with someone, that the demons' grip or their hold would be weakened, right? Like, so I pray specifically for that individual. So for this person that I'm praying for with addictions, I pray directly against those said addictions, right? I know what those addictions are and I know what those struggles are, so I pray that the demons' grip would be weakened. Right? Specifically in those areas, right? Because there's power in the spoken word. So let's get specific when we pray, right? When I pray for individuals again, I pray that their faith would be strengthened, right? That they would understand their position in Christ, like, especially if they're children of the King. I want them to know that they are winners, that they may be struggling, but they're winners, right? Their struggles don't define them, right? Christ defines them. And so I pray that faith would be increased, that they would entertain angels like the Word of God says that we could do. Even unknowingly, sometimes we entertain angels. So I pray that angels or other believers would be there in their time of weakness. Like, I pray that specifically, that God would bring that encouragement. Heaven would be there in their darkest moments, right? Because we can pray that. I pray for clarity for those individuals that I'm praying for, right? That they'd understand and see truth clearly. Because think about this. When you're discouraged, you're not thinking straight, right? So what do we do when those doubts come in? We battle them with truth, right? Truth makes things clear. And so I pray for those individuals that I'm trying to stand in the gap, that they would have a desire for the Word of God. They would have a desire for theology, that God talk, right? And I try to have those conversations with them. I try to send them verses that are applicable to their situation, right? That they would learn to hide that truth in their heart. And the result is that sin would be far from us, right? We won't sin against God. So truth battles those things, right? Battles those insecurities. Truth battles those lies. Truth battles those doubts and those temptations. And so I pray for clarity for those individuals. I also pray for protection. Again, if you have an individual who has asked you to pray, then you should be praying for protection in that situation, including praying for yourself, right? In that sense that we would choose to stand in the gap and we'd be able to walk like lions. But we need to pray for that protection, because if the enemy's after that individual, let's pray for their protection specifically, and then pray for the protection of my home and our church family as we join that individual. Because if the individual is in the sights of the enemy, so to speak, as soon as I get involved, then I'm a target. All right. And so to think about this idea of praying for protection, right? Praying for clarity, praying for strength in faith, right? Praying that the demons' grip would be weakened and that their communication would be cut off from one another. Like those prayers on an individual's behalf, right? You help them wrestle all of those things to the ground. And when the Holy Spirit brings them to mind, it's for a specific reason. So just start praying, right? And God will lead you through that. He will. He's faithful. Like, you may say, whew, sounds too big, don't feel equipped. No. If he calls you to intercessory prayer, it's because he's going to equip you. Right? James 1:5, if anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it's going to be given to you. Right? There's the promise that you don't have to see the way through the wilderness because you have a better guide. Right? You don't have to know the outcome because you're one who holds the future. You know the one who holds the future, right? So again, if you say that you are going to stand in the gap for another, church, do it. Make it a priority. There is nothing more discouraging and frustrating than thinking, you know, you have all these false promises from brothers and sisters who are supposed to have your back. And again, being raised in the church, I've seen a lot of that mess, you know, where instead of praying for a brother and sister, I've heard people try to gossip or talk about or pull down. And you know what? That's our human nature. I know that when we feel less than, we try to drag people down to our less than so we feel better about ourselves. No. Right? When we feel less than, call upon heaven. Right? When someone feels less than, lift them. Right? That's what we're to do. And it amazes me sometimes that the church becomes the greatest attack of the church. Like, no. Be one. I wish that I could just shake the bride sometimes, right? And say that we are really to be doing life together. And you know what? There's going to be individuals that you don't always see eye to eye with, or they may rub you the wrong way. You're still called to love them and to pray for them and to lift them and to encourage them, right? And then God is going to lead you to those individuals that you are going to connect with. And you know what? Make that intercessory prayer a priority. You know, I want to pray this morning, again, talking about prayer and all of its goodness for us. I want to pray for us this morning. So let's do this. Let's agree together, right? God, I want to call out to you in this moment. And I would ask that you would make us mindful of our words. That you'd give us that revelation as we listen to this. That what we say is heard in heaven, so it has to be said, absolutely. but also the enemy is listening. And I pray that we would be mindful of each word that escapes our lips. That, Lord, there is times that in boldness we need to come against the enemy and the authority of Jesus Christ and proclaim. But, Lord, there's other times, I think, when we are doubting and we are hurting, that in silent prayer we should cast those anxieties and cares upon you. That it comes into this principle, Lord, that you challenge us to take captive every thought, right? And we are told to be cautious of every word that comes out of our mouth. Well, Lord, I pray that you would allow us that incredible awareness. Would we be mindful of everything spoken and said and thought? Lord, help us. And help us to be serious about calling upon the spiritual. Let us understand those ramifications in a new way today. That we would grasp that your will can be done on earth as it is in heaven. Like, help us to grasp that. Help us to live that. Again, I think of those realities that heaven has so many answers. You're waiting for us to ask, right? Oh, that we would become a people who would understand prayer. That we'd understand how personal it is and how it affects us as individuals, Lord. That we would, prayer again would be our first response and not our last resort. Let us become the prayer warriors that heaven dreams for us to be. Let us understand that authority in a very new way. And Lord, I pray that we would be serious about intercessory prayer. That we wouldn't say it unless we're ready to do it. Lord, that even now there'd be prayer lists that would begin today. That if we say we're going to pray for somebody, that we take that seriously. That when we join with another, that hell would shudder. Let us be effective in battle. Like, help us, God, to lift one another in that way. So Lord, I just want to say thank you. And I want to pray a special blessing upon the men. Lord, that their purpose is to be fathers. Their purpose is to be men who take prayer seriously. To be praying for their relationships. To be praying for their marriages. To be praying for their children. To be leading in such a way that they're an example. Lord, I'm so grateful for the dad that you let me. And I'm so glad for the promise that one day we'll see each other again. And Lord, I pray that you would help me as I do my best to be a leader to my home, to my community, to my church, Lord, that you would help us as men on this Father's Day to rise to the occasion. So Lord, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you. I pray that, again, as we work through these this series of spiritual warfare, that we would get in the fight. We'd understand that you already won the war, but therefore battles would be won for church, for you, for individuals, for families, that there would be battles that we would take seriously because we'd understand just how serious it is. So, Lord, I want to say thank you. I pray that you'd be with each one that is tuned in today. And Lord, for those who were unable to tune in, Lord, I pray that you'd still just be with your bride, that you would encourage us, that you'd lift us, that you'd heal us, that you'd provide for us, that you'd bless us. We pray all of those things. Lord, we love you today. So thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name.